Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live and I'm delayed by a few seconds and I beg your indulgence for that. This broadcast is coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual epicenter of the universe. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory. Thank you for tuning in to Thursday Live on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. I hope you have enjoyed the morning Vedam and Bhajans that came to you live from the Sai Kulwant Hall. We are now back at the Prashanthi Digital Studios, where we had Houston, we have a problem moment a few moments ago, and with Swami's grace, we have resolved it. So I beg your indulgence for the delay in signing in. The time right now is 42 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. And thank you for your company on this glorious Thursday morning, slightly muggy, but glorious all the same. And today is the 15th day of March 2018. And as we speak, the scene in the Sai Kulwant Hall is one of deep serenity and stillness. The morning Mangal Aarti has just concluded and devotees are quietly lined up on their way to the blessed shrine, that is the holy Mahasannidhi of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. For us, it's the holiest shrine on the face of this planet Earth. At Radio Sai, we pray that may Bhagwan's grace emanating from that holy spot fill each of our listeners' day with health and happiness. We also pray and seek blessings for all the students all over India who are writing their CBSE exams. It's such a huge deal in this part of the world. Even our students in the Prashanthi Valley are currently writing their grade 10 and grade 12 national board exams, called the CBSE exams. We pray for all our children and all of God's children everywhere who are writing this exam. May all the students feel confident and calm and handle their papers very well. Now, dear listeners, gentle and friendly reminder that this coming weekend, that is Sunday, March 18th, happens to be Ugadi or Navre or New Year for several communities across India. And this is a loving invite to you to come home to Mother Sai and soak yourself in the divine ambience, which is highly charged with that Vaikuntha feel, so that when you return home, you go back feeling utterly heavenly. So let us step into the new year with the blessings that will shield us from the negative influences of the world and the vagaries of our own crazy minds. By the way, have you ever been to Prashanthi in mid-March? Years ago when I was growing up, it used to be quite hot at this time of the year in this part of the world. But for the past few years, the weather in Prashanthi has been kinder than seasonal temperatures you would expect at this time of the year. For instance, from the evening through the night and to morning, it is somewhat breezy and quite pleasant with temperatures in the low to mid-20s. Daytime skies tend to be clear blue with practically zero pollution. Our air quality is always excellent, thank God for that. The weather is crisp and warm for most part of the day. Daytime highs are in the mid-30s and that is in Celsius, thankfully. That is because if it was not Celsius, we'd be somewhere near the North Pole, because 30 Fahrenheit would take us close to zero temperature in Celsius, shiver, shiver, like parts of North America and Europe right now. This morning, we have a bit of a cloud cover and the Met Department is calling for rain and thunder in the valley sometime tomorrow. And we welcome that. On that note, on that thunderous and rainy note, which is quite welcome here, let's start Morning Glory with another mega dose of inspiration in the form of an episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. This interview is with Mr. Anandya Das Gupta. But before I play the interview with Anandya Das Gupta, I have a question for our listeners this morning. On Ugadi Day, or the Telugu New Year, a traditional pachadi, or call it a chutney or a sauce, is served to symbolize the various moods of life. Our Andhra festival is also known by different names in different states of India, such as Gudi Padwa in Maharashtra, Ugadi in Andhra and Karnataka, Navre in Kashmir, and so on. Whatever be the name of this festival, it heralds the dawn of Vasant Ritu or spring season, which is considered the first season of the year, Chaitra Masam. And Ugadi to the Telugu-speaking people marks the beginning of a new year in which nature is in full bloom, symbolizing regeneration. And to celebrate the season's freshness, a special sauce is prepared. Now, it has a unique flavor that epitomizes the spirit of Ugadi, and it is therefore famously known as Ugadi Pachadi, with sweet, sour, pungent and bitter tastes. Now, the chutney or the sauce is symbolic reminder of the myriad facets of life. In a sense, it prepares us for the year ahead. My question to our listeners this morning is, and you can tell I'm a foodie, can you list at least four key ingredients that go into making the Ugadi Pachadi or the sauce that is served on Telugu New Year? So I'd like to know four key ingredients that go into making the Ugadi sauce, known as Ugadi Pachadi. Please email me your answers with your full name, the city where you reside and your country. Please don't forget that detail. I would request you to write your name and your city and country. And I will announce the names of the correct pachadi enjoyers or connoisseurs who know the ingredients and on the other side of the show. And you can reach me by email as always on my personal email account, karuna@radiosai.org. That would be Karuna, K for kite, A for America, R for Russia, U for Uganda, N for Nigeria, A for America. KARUNA at Radio Sai is one word, RADIOSAI.ORG. And I shall be happy to share actually the key ingredients with you on the other side of the show and also announce the names of our listeners who got the answer right. As of now, I'm going to play for you an engaging and riveting interview conducted by my colleague Bishu Prushti with Mr. Anandya Das Gupta, who is an alumnus of the Satya Sai University. Have a listen, please.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today is January 2nd, 2016, and by Bhagwan's grace, this is the first conversation that we are having in the new year, and Swami has sent someone very special for this new conversation that we are having in 2016. And he is someone who has the fire of Sai love burning in him so brightly, so beautifully. Brother Anindya Das Gupta, who was the master of ceremonies in the cultural program that was presented by the alumni of Bhagwan's students in the Sai Kulwant Hall on January 1st, 2016. It was a very beautiful program, and Brother Anindya Das Gupta was there in the thick of it. He knows the details much more than what each one of us knows and each one of us felt, because he is someone who has been there working to make this program happen. He's really blessed because he was there in the initial year of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School. He joined this special school started by Bhagwan in 1983. In fact, Bhagwan started the Sri Satya Sai Junior College, which is basically the higher secondary school, 11th and 12th grade, and you know, the courses after 6th standard. So the students, after they complete their 6th in the primary school, the boys, then they move on to this Sri Satya Sai Junior College, which was functioning in the premises of the Ishwaramma High School for a couple of years. And in 1983, Swami had this new building inaugurated. In fact, on the inauguration day, Bhagwan was so eager to see this structure and inaugurate this structure that when the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, who was the chief guest to inaugurate the building, when he was delayed, Bhagwan could not wait. He just bent down and went below the ribbon and actually saw the whole school. And then later you had the chief guest come and, you know, do the formal honors of cutting the ribbon and all that. That is how eager Bhagwan was. And Brother Anindya belongs to that batch who basked in the love of Bhagwan in those initial years. So he has had those moments when Bhagwan visited the school very often, when Bhagwan was interact with the principal, interact with the school students on a day-to-day basis. So he did his schooling in Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School, which he completed in 1987. He finished his 12th class and then he moved to Vrindavan, where he pursued his bachelor's in sciences, majoring in biosciences. So once he completed that, by divine design, he moved out and he completed his post-graduation and his corporate career. Apart from being very successful in his corporate career, brother has been always engaged in the activities of the Sai organization. He is in fact now the district spiritual coordinator for the Delhi NCR region. So really with gratitude to Bhagwan, we start this conversation, the fresh conversation in 2016. So brother, a warm welcome to Radio Sai and to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Sai Ram, my pranams at Swami's lotus feet and really grateful to Swami for having given this opportunity to me.
So the new year is just over, the new year alumni meet. We had a very beautiful program in the Mandir and I believe there was a session in the Institute auditorium too today. So sir, how has this coming together for New Year been?
Well, this has always been a wonderful opportunity. You know, it's like, you know, homecoming, like when a child comes back to his mother, maybe after some time, you know, when he graduates out. So you won't believe, you know, the moment, you know, we are close to, let us say, August, September, you know, our in fact, heart starts to beat very faster and we try to do a lot of plannings. And we are so eager, you know, so that the moment we have the vacation starting post-Christmas, we apply for the leaves maybe 1 month before, and no one can disturb, you know, no one can take from us these, you know, these 5 to 6 days or maybe a week. So we are so eager. And the moment you're in the month of December, believe me, it's only sigh, sigh, sigh and nothing else. So we loved everything. We enjoy every bit of it. The evening satsangs, you know, the get together with boys, meeting our teachers.
Yes.
Going to the institutes, you know, that is something amazing, Vishu, I cannot tell you. I guess this is the only institute when you go back after even ages, the teachers remember you by names. I do not know any other college, even if you go back after a couple of years, that they would get back to you with exact your names. I have seen so many teachers, they call not only me, but you know, lot many my juniors and seniors with names. That is the amazing bond that, you know, Swami has developed between the teachers and the students. So that is what is our teachers is all about.
Amazing. So you are someone who had the opportunity to be in the initial years of the school. So tell us what moments are evergreen. I think there are so many moments, isn't it, when you think about your school days and the interactions that you had with Bhagwan the way the school was slowly shaping up.
Yeah, I think it was in 83, as you have rightly mentioned, that Swami first, you know, came down to inaugurate that beautiful building. We were at the Ishwarambu school, right? And we used to go only to the Ishwarambu school. But yes, we were aware that something was, you know, getting, you know, built up in the premises next to the Ishwarambu school. But honestly, Bishu, I do not remember anything about, you know, how the school was inaugurated. Because that time we were in 7th standard. For us, the only one important thing was Swami. If Swami came to that building, we would rush, we would do all naughtiest possible things to get as close to him. We were not bothered which building was being inaugurated or which was being, you know, taken off. So honestly, I do not remember anything as such of the school, but yes, I remember the first day when we walked into the school, it was, you know, a much bigger building, right? And we remember that it was, you know, we already had the Central Board of Secondary Education curriculum rolling out.
Yes.
So that was one transformation I remember, because we were in Telugu medium in Ishwarambu school, and our parents were little, you know, worried ki what's going to happen. But I guess because of our mother's sacrifice and their faith that, you know, see, I was from north and I had no clue to what Telugu is all about.
So you were in Telugu medium when you joined?
In Ishwarambu school, we were in Telugu medium.
Oh.
And then, you know, because we did not have any CBSE at that point of time. And as we migrated...
But how did it happen that you actually joined there?
It was, I think, totally my mother's, you know, faith. He put my son and something is going to happen in terms of, you know, the curriculum would get changed. And that's exactly it happened. So they put
How
us in order.
How did that happen?
That happened, see, I'll tell you, because we were devotees right from beginning. And my mother was more ardent devotee than, you know, my dad, because my dad has just heard about Swami. And it was for the first time that Swami came into my mother's dream, you know. when she was in Calcutta, and that's how she learned about Bhagwan. And Swami appeared in a dream and told her about a place where Sai Bhajans used to be happening in Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she went for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you know, she had Swami's darshan in Jaipur, then she came over here in Prashanti Nilam.
So all this happened in the years?
79, 70, 79, 78,
okay.
80. Mm-hmm. And then my mother just wanted only one thing from Swami, that Swami, both me and my brother wanted to study here. We mm-hmm. had no senses at that point of time. So I joined 7th standard here.
But did you have love for Bhagwan, or did you have any connect with Bhagwan?
Yeah. See, in a way that we used to go for bhajans. We definitely used to go for bhajans. And when I came for the, when I came in the Prashantilan for the first time in 1980, I remember the day one, I was sitting in the holy sands and mm-hmm. Swami came right to me.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to me, but he spoke to me in Telugu.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't recollect what he spoke to me, because there were a mm-hmm. lot of Telugu people sitting around me.
Mm-hmm.
But after the darshan, because that time there were, you know, very handful of devotees.
Yes.
So my father saw me from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone said, you know, Swami spoke to your son. Swami spoke to your son. But mm-hmm. what he said, you know, he could not make out, because the gentleman who was sitting next to me had already left post darshan.
Mm.
So that's how I, you know, for the first time, Swami spoke to me and I came affiliated with Bhagwan.
Mm.
But yes, I used to be a part of Bal Vikas and all that before.
Okay. So Swami spoke to you, you didn't understand, but you felt something.
Absolutely. I felt there was some kind of happiness, there was some kind of joy, although I was a kid, but today I can, you know, if I go back and recollect, there was certainly a different kind of a feeling that I had, because you know, we used to treat Swami as God, and suddenly someone straight comes out of Mandir, straight walks towards you, speaks to you for a few seconds and goes away. I felt I was a special person, because everyone would come and talk to me, you know, they would look at me with a different feeling. He saw me, spoke to me, so I felt very important at that point of time.
I know. Mm. So you had no hesitation joining in Telugu medium Ishwarama school at that time?
Honestly, I was not aware what's happening.
You just followed your mom.
I just followed my mom. My mom took me to the hostel, right? We were supposed to have an admission test, right? I had an admission test in the hostel, I remember, and Nityanand Menon sir was the first warden. I think I cleared that and I walked into the hostel. The hostel was so nice and nothing happened. I didn't even cry, believe me.
Mm.
I never felt anything. I just loved it.
Wow. So you loved the hostel. You didn't feel homesick at all?
No. Honestly, I did not feel.
And so, how was it in the Ishwarama school before you moved on to the new building of the higher secondary school?
See, I remember, you know, we had a lovely, you know, batchmates. You know, we had a lovely batchmates. We thoroughly enjoyed, you know, especially the evening darshans. Mm-hmm. So actually, we did not feel much in terms of the curriculum, because we were actually not bothered about studies and reading. We only had one thing. When it would be 4 o'clock, when we would rush to Mandir, skip everyone, jump everyone's head, and we used to buy small pictures from outside, you know, whenever we had time, we used to get all our pictures signed by Bhagwan. That was the only motto. School was not at all, school was secondary.
Yeah. School just happened.
Just happened.
And so all these beautiful moments with Bhagwan, Would have reached a new level once you had the higher secondary school, isn't
absolutely
it?
Yeah.
So how was it? You had Bhagwan coming to the school very often?
I remembered Swami coming, I think, at least twice in a year, because we used to host those science exhibitions. I remember I was in 9th and there was an exhibition, so we used to work, you know, the entire night, all round, maybe 24 hours. We used to create something, you know, and we used to create only for him, not pleasing teachers, anyone. So Swami used to, yes, come very often to the school. Because, you know, when he used to go to Gokulam, on the way, he used to sometime get into the hostel.
Mm.
And occasionally, he also used to get into the school as well.
Mm. And your first principal was Professor Habbu.
Professor Habbu, amazing gentleman. We learned a lot from him. Such a revered gentleman he was.
Such a strict disciplinarian, isn't it?
Absolutely. We learned, I think, our basics of discipline right from, you know, our school days from Mr. Habbu.
Mm. So, was it challenging for you in any way?
Yeah, it was. Because first and foremost, it was challenging in terms of staying in the hostel. Right? We were not used to, you know, sleeping on the floor. We were used to always a fan. Right? The hostel did not have a, you know, bed. It never had fans. Right? And everything was, I mean, everything under the sun was, you know, kind of a rules and regulation. you would have to get up, you would have to go for, you know, morning prayers, there would
first
be a bell.
First bell, get up, second bell, move.
Absolutely.
Life is between two bells.
Life is between two bells. You know, you have to go everywhere in line, you have to discipline, you have to, you know, wear shirts tucked outside, which was kind of, you know, something totally new for us. So initially, yes, it was a challenge. Another big challenge that we faced was, you know, when parents left, you know, putting us into the hostel, it was then we realized that we had no means of talking or communicating with them, unlike today we have mobile phones and we just had one phone at the reception and we could talk to them, I think, only if they called us, I think maybe once a week. So that time we felt worst challenge when Swami was out to Vrindavan or anywhere else.
Then you missed the...
That was a point because we had nothing to do, that excitement was not there, you know, we had to...
It was so empty.
So empty. We only knew that when Swami used to be out, we knew, oh my God, 4 o'clock, we have to go to the ground and play. So that was one little challenge.
Reluctantly go to the ground to play.
The moment Swami was here, we used to forget all those emotions of parents and, you know, and we used to be, I mean, back to square one with Swami.
Wow, I mean, especially during that time, you know, when you had Bhagwan in the early 80s and when Swami was really giving so much of his time to the students, the institute also had just come up. You know, that was the time when Bhagwan actually a lion's share of his time, which he anyway actually gave to the students all his life. But that was the time when he actually gave himself completely to the students. In the later years, we had more institutions coming up. You had the hospital coming up and everything, you know, then you had Bhagwan's time being divided into many other institutions, water project and all that. But these are the years when his focus was only on the students. So when did your connect with Bhagwan happen?
Bishu, I remember certain numbers very discreetly in my mind. We were 90 students in school and there were 110 students in the institute.
Oh.
And we had hostel that was into three floors. The entire top floor was for fruit stall, for bank, for dispensary and sick ward. So basically the top floor was not functional in any kind of, you know, for boys to stay. So the middle floor was, you know, being occupied and maybe bits and pieces of the cornermost on the top floor. So that's how the hostel strength was. 90 school boys and our warden was Mr. Venkatachalam, sir.
Oh, he was a warden?
He was a first warden for school. He was another enlightened gentleman, I would say.
Well, I've always known him as the person who looks out of the kitchen. I never knew that he was the warden.
He was a first school warden. And you know, when he used to call us for a meeting, there was a small room, all of us used to get fitted inside that little room and used to talk to us. And yes, he was also handling the kitchen aspect as well. But for students, for school boys, he was a warden.
Warden.
Then came Janardhan sir and Ramon Rao sir after that.
So what were those moments, you know, when I would say you started connecting with Bhagwan at a different level? Because, you know, you had one impression of Bhagwan as someone who is God when you joined, and I think as you live with him, then you realize that, you know, he's something else, you know, he's someone with whom you can actually have a very, very different, very personal and very intimate relationship, isn't it? So were there any moments which sort of put you on this path?
Absolutely, Bishu. In fact, I was very fortunate that you know, the moment I joined school, maybe within a span of 2 to 3 months, because we were less in numbers in terms of schoolboys, Swami started to speak to me. And he tagged me with a unique, you know, name. He used to always call me Circus Buffoon.
Oh, Circus Buffoon.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I don't know, because maybe I used to jump a lot, you know, skip here a lot, you know, go over those people's, you know, I mean, their head and then jump and sit on the roof.
Somehow fast. Managed to.
Somehow.
And you can sit even if there is a few centimeters.
Absolutely. So, like, you know, Swami used to have a lot of name like Pakoda and all that. So the moment he used to call Buffoon, people knew that he was addressing me. So everyone used to know Swami is calling you. So that name, I don't know, maybe I would have done something great in my, you know, past jarmas or past karmas to get a name like that from Bhagwan. So he used to speak to me. I was so fortunate enough. Now I realize that today, Vishu. Of course, that time, all this, you know, this realization was not there. But today I feel, you know, we are so fortunate that Bhagwan gave us this opportunity. So that's how I started to connect. And one intimate experience I had was in one of my school days, I gave all my clothes to Dhobi. And somehow everything got disappeared. I mean, the dhobi never, you know, got back the clothes after washing. He said, you know, you didn't give that to me. So there was some kind of a misunderstanding. And I had nothing with me except a pair of clothes. Just a pair of a white shirt and a white pant. I had with me five pairs. And I had nothing to do. So I told Janardhan sir, I have told that time Narasimurthy Rao sir became my warden. If I remember right. Became the hostel warden. For school, Janardhan sir was the in charge. And I had nothing to wear. So I told Janardhan sir did tell to Mr. Narasimurthy, you know, he doesn't have clothes, the dhobi has lost. And they were so nice to send a senior brother into the dhobi's, you know, a quarter near Chitrapati. He tried to find, but nothing came out. In the evening, I went to Mandir. We were sitting in the corner. And when Swami came, like an innocent, you know, boy, I got up. I said, Swami, I have a big problem. Can you believe the master of the universe gives you time to listen to such a pettiest thing? He said, tell me. I spoke to him in Hindi because I didn't know Telugu, and he understood, and he was replying back. He was, you know, reciprocating in Hindi. Like a kid, I told him, Swami, I gave four clothes to dhobi. The dhobi lost. Every story I told him, you know, some brother went with me. Swami, what do I do? My parents sends me 30 rupees a month. Where will I buy clothes? The master of the universe listened standing to me smilingly for minutes, maybe for 4 minutes. And you know what he does? He calls Janardhan sir, gives him money from his inside his interview room and tells him, buy for him two pair of clothes and give it to him. And that evening, Janardhan sir takes me to Sairam Tailor. There was a Sairam Tailor, right, that Vidyagiri gate, just next to that. We go there and, you know, two pairs of shirts, you know, we get them ordered, we get them stitched, and I think I get it maybe a couple of days later. So that was my first experience with Bhagwan ever.
I mean, how, you know, we used to always think at that point in time, frankly, we should never realize that, you know, Swami is giving us so much time. We just, quote unquote, yes, we took it for granted at that point in time. It seemed like that, you know, but today when you think about it, you know, he had so many things to do. I mean, imagine the number of things he has to look after, even forget the cosmic aspect, even physically.
Physically,
just to run so many institutions, he had so many things to do, but, you know, it was a lesson in management, isn't it? But he had time to give each one of us, whether someone did not have a shoe, someone did not have a sock, someone did not have a shirt. He had that, and he could make each person feel important.
That's what, you know, Bishu, whenever we teach people about incorporatable leadership, one aspect of leadership is, even it may be the minutest of your employee, at least listen to him, because he'll feel happy. So today when I teach leadership to people, I feel I'm not talking about Swami's divinity at all. That is beyond our comprehension.
Yes.
But looking at Swami from a leadership perspective, today when I realize, when I, you know, go back to those beautiful days, he's a perfect leader. Vishu, from a human perspective, I have never ever seen Swami out for darshan without shaving. I'm giving you the minutest example of a human being, perfect human being. I have gone to darshan n number of times without shaving. Of course, nowadays, I mean, you know, you grow up, you mature up, right? But I have never seen Bhagwan even one day.
Every day he was impeccable.
Every day he was impeccable. He was looking absolutely brilliant. Full shaven.
Yes.
True leader. He listens to every minutest issue.
Yes.
And he knows how to sort it.
And the kind of lessons, because that's what Bhagwan said, he came down in a physical form to teach us how to live. And when you lived with him, when you had the chance to watch him at close quarters, those lessons were just there, right there on your face.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
So when you look back, you know, what are some of these lessons which keep coming to you when you look back at your days in the school?
One of the biggest lessons that Swami taught us was never believe in pomp and show, right? God is all about how simple you are. That is one lesson that I've learned. And can I quote an example?
Yeah, please.
It was my birthday, right? And, you know, in those days, you know, we used to have those beautiful trays being arranged with kajus and kishmish and, you know, all those fancy stuff.
Dry fruits. I mean, that is the day when you can go to Swami.
Yes, yes. So it was one of my birthday, and I realized it in the evening that I had to offer that to Swami. And my mother was here, and that time the stores had, you know, I think they were all closed. So I didn't have any of those, you know, stuffs with me.
Oh.
So I told my mom, I have to go, you know, and offer to Swami. So my mom, you know, those days, Prashanthi Leela never had all those, I mean, like departmental store. There was just little store which is opposite to Prashanthi Leela Mandir. So my mom, you know, wherever, you know, whatever she could find in that, at that point of time in terms of availability, she only found Long or Lavang. And I think it was only Lavang, if I'm not wrong.
Clove,
right? And I only had a small ball of clove. And when my mom said, she said, you know, she would make arrangements for that. So when I go back to her, or when she comes back to the hostel, she says, beta, I could only find clove. And I cried. I said, Swami, all the birthday boys will take cashew nuts, will take kishmish, will take badam, will take mishri. And I'll be sitting there only with a tray or a little ball full of cloves. You will never come to me. And I literally, you know, I fought with her. I said, this is, you know, this is something very wrong. You know, you are not supporting me. So my mom couldn't do anything because that time Prati never had any kind of stores. So next day morning, Vishu brother, there were, I guess, 4 to 5 students who also had birthday. They had big trays. I was feeling so shy, you know, even to go and sit amongst them because I just had a little ball of cloves. But can you believe Swami walks out of his room? He goes to all the 5 boys. Since I was little hiding and sitting, you know, in the corner, he comes straight to me, looks at me. I get up. He reaches out, to a couple of cloves and puts it in his mouth. And my mother is sitting right opposite and she was totally in her tears.
Oh my God.
And when I came out, my mother hugged me, and that's the first lesson I learned. Swami is all about being simple. It's not about, you know, being pomp and show. So that's what the lesson that I learned is, God can be reached, you know, only through your depth in terms of devotion. He doesn't believe in, you know, pomp and show.
And the quality of the heart, the purity of our feeling is what touches Him.
Absolutely.
And that is the only thing that ever mattered to Him.
No doubt. And, absolutely.
And it's such a valuable lesson for us in our life, isn't it?
True.
As you go along, I think... If we all the time, when we remember that, you know, ultimately, as Bhagwan always says, the essence of spirituality is purity. In fact, when I was in Delhi, you were sharing about an instance where you wanted Bhagwan's picture on the stage.
That was something, I believe me, Bishu. I mean, can I talk about that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I was talking to my state president, Mr. Chima. So we were, you know, having that symphony. And believe me, there was no plan to keep Swami's picture on the stage because I think something else was being, you know, planned to maybe kind of Swami on the screen or something of that sort, which I'm not exactly aware. So he was not exactly, you know, in agreement to have a Swami's picture. And I went and prayed, can you beat it? I told, sir, you know, we need to have a Swami's picture. You know, we need to have a Jyoti that needs to be lit. He said, yeah, he says, a Jyoti, absolutely fine, you're going to have. But Swami's, yeah, I told him about Swami's throne and picture. He said, see, there are so many artists sitting on the stage, right? Close to 150. I don't know the exact number.
126.
126.
Yeah.
So you might not have a space. So having Swami's chair will be a little, you know, problem. Swami's photo is, you know, again, because it will occupy a lot of space and you'll have those diyas and all around. So we can have just a single diya. That's it. So he told me, you know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And then believe me, Bishu, I came back to my home, and entire that stretch from Sai Center to my home, I kept praying, Bhagwan, photograph needs to be there. And when I come back the next day, right, I see a Swami's picture and I had no words. Then one of the members, you know, he says, I don't know what happened, but I think there was something transpired between you and him, and the picture is here. I said, please don't ever say that. Everything transpires between Swami and Swami.
And it was so beautiful because that was a program that was that had live telecast on Indian National Channel on DD, and you know, it was such a glorious celebration, and everyone watched Bhagwan's beautiful form as the symphony was going, and it was a tribute to his love.
Absolutely, that was a very, very memorable occasion for all of us.
So going back to your days in the school, so one of the moments that you mentioned was, you know, when Bhagwan used to come for the science exhibition. So were you part of some model making? Did you come up with something when Bhagwan came to the school?
Well, actually, I don't remember honestly, but I was a part, maybe helping. I mean, I was not a lead in terms of a particular project, but yes, I recollect. I was a part of, you know, a couple of science projects, but honestly, I don't recollect any, you know, instances. But yes, I can still see that, you know, we were in the physics laboratory where Professor Muralidhar Rao was our professor. And then, you know, we, you know, had a lot of stuffs on the table, you know, some kind of electric bell.
Yes.
Some sort of lot of project, but honestly, brother, I don't remember anything.
But so many students have their moments when Bhagwan would know.
Should be.
But come and, you know, Bhagwan would light, you know, would press a switch, or Bhagwan would light a lamp, or Bhagwan would do something which will spur some action.
Absolutely.
And you wait for the reaction for Bhagwan.
True, true, true.
So how was it once you were in your 11th and 12th? I mean, you know, you had one perception of Bhagwan when you joined. And, you know, as you started settling down in the hostel and as you started building this relationship with Bhagwan in your 7th, 8th, 10th, I think by the time, you know, now you know that this is Swami and this is the way to go to Him. When you look back, what was Swami for you before you joined? What was Swami for you when you were in 7th, 8th, 9th? And what was Swami for you when you were in 11th, 12th?
That's, I think, a very brilliant question, because this gives us a lot of thought process, you know, to think about it. I think when we joined in 7, Swami was for us like our own friend, right? Like someone, you know, whom we could reach out to.
Like, go and tell him that I don't have a shirt.
Absolutely, right? Of course, that factor in terms of God was actually not there. Although behind the mind, you know, deep into the senses, we knew that He was God. But for a child, you know, 14, 15 years, maybe class 7, the concept of God actually does not sink in. So we used to, you know, treat Him like our own friend, right? You know, who could help you out at any point of time. So that's how for us Swami was. So as we, you know, grew up and, you know, got into class 11th and 12th, I think the concept really sank in. Because we needed a God to help us out in our board exams. We needed a God, you know, to help us out in terms of getting good marks. And that's how, you know, we thought, no, He's no more our friend, so we have to keep praying.
Keep praying, because you really need Him now.
You need Him now. Because, see, we were full of, you know, fun, frolic games. Mm. So I think the concept of God
really... higher power now.
Absolutely. Mm. So that concept of God slowly came in as you, you know, progressed. And, you know, when you got into the college, that, you know, there was some sense of thought, what's going to happen in the future? What I'm going to do? Mm. Who's going to tell me? Because I don't have any clarity. You know, I had a normal BSc's and an MSc's over here. What do I do? You know, people are going out for engineering and doctorate. That's why you needed a power or a God to support you. Mm-hmm. So I think then, you know, we started to look at Swami from a friend perspective. It metamorphorized to a God.
Mm-hmm.
So then we used to think, no, Swami is no more a friend. Now He's a God, because He has to help us out. We are in a mess.
Mm-hmm. So did you get that guidance from Swami?
Yeah. I think lot, because... in one of the conversation that, you know, I had with Bhagwan, He definitely hinted that I need to go out and, you know, pursue for a career outside.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Swami, one thing that I've seen in Bhagwan is that He would never give you anything direct. Mm-hmm. He would never tell you this is what you have to get in. He would give you a clue in and around that.
Mm-hmm.
So He did give me a clue in terms of getting into sales and marketing, mm-hmm. right? I remember, you know, very vividly, of course, He did tell me that you have to go out and pursue your, you know, career in selling something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I remember. And that's what I did, actually, later, much later.
Mm. See, even though you were into sciences.
I was into science.
But you moved into sales, marketing, and management.
I had nothing to do with
job.
Selling, but yet I got into that.
Mm. I think that would have been also a very interesting experience because you are in a space where there will be many challenges. But to live by Bhagwan's teachings would not be easy in a profession like that. But before we come to that, how was Vrindavan?
Bishu, that was 3 years were golden. You know, people used to say that when you get into Vrindavan, you know, and when Swami comes to Vrindavan, that is a time, you know, which is going to be memorable throughout your life, more than Parthi. And those were the days that was the best, because Vrindavan would be, you know, best in my life, because that was a place where I got a first individual photograph with Swami.
Oh, wow.
So that is Vrindavan for me.
Mm.
The amazing 3 years.
Fantastic. And you had the tri sessions.
We used to have the tri sessions. They were amazing. All evenings, you know, those 1.5 hours to maybe 2 hours it used to stretch. And at times we used to have these lovely movie shows, you know, Panduranga or Tulsidas or something of that sort. And we used to get into the Institute Auditorium in Vrindavan for movie shows. So those days were, it's so beautiful.
See, whenever you think about those moments, every second now seems so precious. Every second now seems to energize you.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
And especially Vrindavan. I think Vrindavan was one place where, you know, Swami packed so much in so little time. Because he used to spend so much time in Prashantinilayam. But when he came to Vrindavan, even if he stayed for like 2 months or 3 months. But, you know, people used to always say that he will make up for it when he's in Vrindavan.
Very right, yeah.
And he did. You know, even if you were a student of Bhagwan's university and you had only 2 months or 3 months with Bhagwan, but if you're a Vrindavan student, you got something which perhaps students of Prashanti did not get even in their 9 months of stay with Bhagwan.
Very right. Absolutely right. Yeah.
The chance of actually sitting there in the trai where you can actually keep his feet on your lap and this individual photograph you said.
Truly amazing. And you know, when you are with Bhagwan in that premises, in that close quarters, you know, things just happen and things just go away. You know, it's like how times have passed. And today we realize, you know, hope we could have something to, you know, take the time back to Vrindavan days or to Prashantilayam days.
And you wish I had maintained a diary.
I wish. That is one, you know, I think mistake I've ever done in my life. I've never recorded. So I really wish. But, you know, whatever memories we have, you know, we try to recollect them. We try to talk about them so that, you know, we don't forget.
Your most precious Vrindavan memory.
My most precious Vrindavan memory was, I had hurt myself. I had stitches in my, here somewhere in the middle of the head because I was trying to jump those French windows. And, you know, I had come in between and there were stitches here. So I had put a bandage, you know, around my head and I walked into the darshan and Swami saw me. So the moment he saw me, you know, and I was also offering an aarti. It was a bit awkward, you know, me offering an aarti with a, you know, bandage on my head, and then Swami looks at me and then he creates a vibhuti for me. So that was something, you know, something very memorable. One more incident that is very memorable for me was, I was sitting exactly next to Bhagwan, inside the Trai Mandir, and suddenly I see an ant crawling right from, you know, Swami's hand. You know, it's slowly getting inside, you know, slowly moves to his chest. And, you know, Swami had those beautiful golden buttons. And in between he had the little space and the ant was slowly, slowly moving down. And I just don't know why people did not notice, why boys did not notice. And Swami was talking, he was joking. And I was trying to point to him, you know, with my eyes. Swami, there's an ant that might get inside you. And the ant slowly crawled, moved to his first button. And it was getting into that little slit between the first and the second button. And I couldn't resist. And I told, Swami, there's an ant. And the way Swami reacted, you know, as if a little boy, you know, little boy getting little scared. He suddenly looks at the ant and says, nothing is going to happen, don't worry. And the little ant didn't have the guts to get inside. It just crawled down, 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 and it left. That was, you know, another beautiful memory of something between me and Swami.
Now, this whole thing of love, as you mentioned, you know, when Bhagwan saw you with the bandage, you know, instantly he created vibhuti and he gave you. And I think, you know, as we are talking about this lessons of life that we learn at Bhagwan's feet, this whole thing of empathy, that's something that gets ingrained in every Sai student when you live with Bhagwan, isn't it?
Absolutely. Very true. Empathy is one thing that all of us have learned.
Tell me, how has this helped you in your corporate career?
See, empathy is something that is very important, you know, in terms of leadership. And because I was a kind of, you know, regional manager for Novartis and I had people reporting to me and I was handling a big state. So that's where the first lessons of Swami's, you know, empathy, man management, money management, that's what, you know, we have learned and we try to put into practice. So empathy is one thing wherein you know that, you know, there is something, I mean, you have to take corrective measures. But there are better ways to do it. That's what empathy, you know, teaches you. Yes. How to handle.
Mm.
Empathy, I think, is the first step for man management. You know, you have to first put yourself in his shoes.
Mm.
How would you react if you were to fire him, or if you were to take any kind of harsh or a hard decision to him? And the moment you empathize, you know, he still can be given a scope of, you know, a chance.
Mm.
So that's what, unlike other managers, you know, who always believe in hire and fire,
mm.
I'm sure all the leaders, you know, who have moved out of Swami's institutions, they definitely hire, but they don't believe in fire. They believe in hire, empathize, give him opportunities, correct.
Mm.
Firing actually is the last mm. process.
Mm.
Because I have done that myself, because I have been a leader, and I have been, you know, hiring people. I have been handling close to, I would say, 15, 16 people at one point of time. So that's what Swami has taught us, and how to manage people and how to empathize. And most important for every Sai student, how to manage money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the core principle. So that is something very sensitive, and I'm sure with Swami's blessings, all of us are, you know, have that enough human values to manage money in the most ethical way in a corporate world.
What is your guideline when it comes to managing money?
Nothing is yours. Swami has said, right? And what Swami has said, you get what you deserve, not what you desire.
So whatever you get is what you deserve.
What you deserve. That's it. Don't desire for more. If you do good work, money will come.
They will come automatically.
What
is yours will come automatically.
What is yours will come automatically to you. You don't have to crave or desire for that. What is not yours, you might have a lot of loose things left, right and center. It's not yours. And money cannot get you anything. In Swami's, you know, Swami's always taught us, more than money, what is important is your self-esteem. If self-esteem goes down, you know, Swami always talks about character.
Yes.
If you lose money, nothing goes. If you lose health, little bit goes. But if you lose your character, everything goes up. So the one thing that we have learned is manage money, empathy, and manage people.
Tell me, while all this is, easy to talk, all this is easier said than done, isn't it? How challenging has it been for you to actually live by these principles?
Honestly, it's been pretty simple and pretty easy for me, because I have never looked at, you know, although I had a lot of scopes as a manager, you know, you handle a state and there are a lot of distributors who want to get appointed. But I think that was never a source of even a thought process. So honestly, I never had any kind of challenges. But yes, on a people front, you at times face a lot of challenges in terms of empathizing, because at given point of time, all the five fingers are not same. You also have a bad entity.
Mm.
But again, what Swami has said, you know, try to understand, try to empathize. So I did not have much challenge, honestly.
Because you were clear.
I was very clear in my thoughts, very clear.
I think that is, as Bhagavan says, be clear and the rest will follow.
Absolutely. So, I think you have nailed the right word. I was absolutely clear.
Mm. And so once you have that clarity, that sort of also percolates down to everyone who is working with you, that sort of surrounds you, that sort of builds an aura around you.
Absolutely. You know, people say when you work, when you work in the corporate, you know, you get transformed. I say you transform people. You know, I have put on 13 years plus eight years in FedEx, close to almost 21 years. I've never drunk. I've never smoked. And I'm a totally vegetarian. You know, we have parties. We have all kind of booze parties. You know, we go there. At times, it is necessary for you to be, you know, kind of to have an attendance. It's must in corporate life. But then you are very clear. You know, you don't take that. So the moment, you know, people say, you know, you have a vegetarian goon, so in FedEx, they look at me.
Mm.
So that's it. We are very clear. You know, these things we don't have to entertain. So we have never done that.
Mm. And actually, am I right in saying that, you know, with time you actually earn respect?
That's right. Very true. Absolutely right.
With time, you know, people know this guy, he has a guts to be something different.
Yeah. Very right. Absolutely.
So tell me, you know, how has it been for you as a corporate trainer? Because, you know, you were in sales, marketing and administration for 13 years in the pharma sector. And then you had this shift to now teaching people, training people. I guess this is more fulfilling.
This is, no doubt about it.
And perhaps this is something more close to your heart, right?
Yeah. That's what I wanted to do. I want to do something that I love, and I really, you know, love to train, love to teach people. So although this was not in the beginning, but, you know, as and when I moved, I think teaching and training is something, you know, which may be my strength. So, you know, I pursued on that. So I think I'm in the right field right now.
So tell me, now that you've got this platform, how has it been trying to share Bhagwan's values, know, to all the people that you are training, because now you are in a position where you can actually directly influence a lot of people, and you know, set them thinking on lines which are more close to empathy, which are more close to practicing righteousness, which are more close to leading a life of compassion and love. So, have you seen that transformation process as you're training a lot of people? Are there moments, you know, when you feel, thank you, Swami, you know, I think this is something that you gave me this opportunity to be a trainer, and today I feel so fulfilled because, you know, this thing has happened.
Yeah, see, what happens, we generally train the new hires, we train the middle management, we train the senior management, and we also do a lot of trainings for the, you know, CEOs and CFOs for the upper management, right? Now, when you do a training for the lower management people, that is where it's very important for you to infuse, you know, the value systems into them, because they're going to be the future leaders. And believe me, Prushti, whenever we take a session, and a lot of my, you know, presentations and curriculum, they have been designed looking into a lot of Swami Satyasai's peaks and also of the management books. Because at the end of the day, whatever you may say, right, the moment you quote little, you know, bits and pieces of examples from spiritualism, people get to understand that is what I have seen. That's what I have seen. I can, you know, when I can tell you with 100% confidence, people are interested in corporate stories. There is no doubt about it, right? But the moment you have a spiritual flavor, the moment you talk about Gautam Buddha, the moment you talk about Jesus, the moment you give examples of such, people tend to relate more than corporate examples. That is a fact.
Wow.
Even the top management, you know, see, you have to have a way of infusing this. You cannot start with stories of Vivekananda or with Jesus. You have to talk with corporate examples, and in between, you have to infuse, you know, certain aspects of spiritualism. Because at the end of the day, remember what Swami has said? And that's a fact. Science and spirituality are always half circles each.
Yes.
If you talk only about corporate examples, people will be 50% happy. The moment you give it a spiritual twist, people will be more happy. That's what is my own example. My own experience.
It becomes more complete.
It becomes more complete.
More solid.
More solid. Because if you see, 90% of scientific logics are based on, you know, spiritual applications as well.
Yes. And I think when you now think about it, when Bhagwan came to the college so many times when MBA started, he was all the time telling how spirituality is so much a part of marketing, spirituality is so much a part of production, spirituality is so much a part of information technology. And now, you know, you are experiencing that what is needed for the world today is actually this blend of this. And it is not what is needed, it is what people are hungering for also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, why do you think, you know, people are going to a lot of other institutions? Because there's a vacuum for God. Why do you think people are, you know, getting into reading a lot of stuff, getting into, you know, different TV channels, listening to different saints and sages? Why? Because there is a hunger and there's a vacuum for God. So if you give them the right spiritual, you know, feed, people will be, you know, in the right curriculum, as you know, what we can think of.
Because ultimately everyone wants peace.
That
come only from that spirit.
That can come only from that, you know, that higher self-realization.
Wonderful. So when you look back, Brother Anindya, this beautiful journey with Bhagwan, and when you compare yourself with what you were when you moved out of Bhagwan's institution after your BSc, and where you are now, how do you see yourself? What was your understanding of Bhagwan and his teachings when you moved out? How was it, you know, when you were 10, 12 years into your corporate career, and how is it now when you're almost done 2 years working in two big multinational companies?
Vishu, you know, one thing I would like to admit, you know, very candidly is even after moving out of Bhagwan's institution, I was initially a little apprehensive to talk about Swami, right? I would not submit publicly that, you know, I have read from Satsang Institute, because that little apprehension was there. Ki why? Because people generally tend to criticize, right? But one incident changed my, you know, lookout. And after that, I think I've been always bold enough to say that I am from Satsang University and I have seen God.
Wow.
So can I narrate that little incident? Swami had given me this personal photograph, you know, with him. So I had moved out after that. And I wanted to get it framed, you know, using my first money that I earned, you know, from a salary that I was teaching in a small college kind of a thing. So I got my first money. So that time I was staying in Jodhpur, you know, it's a town in Rajasthan. Mm-hmm. So I had gone with my little individual photograph with Swami. It was, I think, 4x6. And I wanted to get it framed, but I was very, you know, shy to show it to the photograph shop because mm-hmm. there would be so many people, ye kaun hai, you know, mm-hmm. who is he? Mm-hmm. Because Swami at that time was generally criticized, you know, because people had not heard about his works. So shyly, I walk into a kind of a photo frame shop, and then I show the reverse of the picture. I tell him, do you have a size for this particular photograph? I need a frame. So the gentleman says, can you show me the photograph because I need to feel it and tell you the size of it. So I said, no, if you can just let me know from the back. He said, no, you'll have to give me the photograph. So without, you know, kind of a hitch, I gave him the photograph, and there were 3-4 people standing in and around him. Mm. And that's what it happened, which I did not expect. He said, oh, this is a photograph you want to get the framed? I said, yes. And can you believe there was a gentleman standing next to me? Immediately he pounced on that photograph and he asked me 2 very critical questions. And I could not fathom. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, why is he asking these questions to me? The first question he asked me is this your mother?
Oh.
I said, no, he is Satya Sai Baba. And in that photo frame, if you see, there's a, you know, little marble written Trai Brindavan on the background, because yes. It was a photo just on the steps of Trai Brindavan. And the second question he asked me, is this your home? I said, no, it is a mandir in the south. That was my, you know, ignorant reply, trying to get that guy away so that he does not comment on Swami. And then immediately he said, I know him. And for a moment I paused. He said, I also know Shirdi Baba. And there are bhajans that is happening at my residence. And fortunately, Bishu, that day we had a bhajan at our residence at Jodhpur. Mm-hmm. So I told him, you know, brother, you know, we have a bhajan today. So I'll be grateful if you can come down to a house for a bhajan. So by the time we were doing this conversation, the photographer, you know, had taken the photograph, he had framed it, given back to me. Mm-hmm. So I was just leaving, I was on my cycle, so I asked him, brother, what's your name? And you know what he told me his name? He said, my name is Ishwar. Mm-hmm. It just didn't strike me, this 2 little question and his name. Mm-hmm. So I told him, brother Ishwar, where do you stay? So he gave me a particular address of a place in Jodhpur, and he mentioned to me house number 10. And he said that he's an electrician and he's working in a little electric shop across the road. So I said, fine. I didn't even realize, you know. So while I was going back, when I reached my home, I put the, you know, my Swami's photograph, me and Swami on the altar. Suddenly it clicked me. 2 dialogues. Is he your mother? I innocently said, no, he is Swami. Second dialogue. Is this your home? I said, no, it is Trai Brindavan, some temple in south. And then he said, my name is Ishwar. And I knew that I had messed it up. I took my cycle. I went to that place where he had mentioned. Mm. There was house number 10, but there was no one called Ishwar. Mm. I knocked at every door, 10 to 11 or maybe 15 doors. I said that, is there an electrician, you know, staying here? And he was dark complexion, let me tell you this. I still remember that. Mm. His name is Ishwar. They said, there's no Ishwar. So then I said that, is there any electric shop? He said, yes, there is a shop across the road. So I went all the way and there were 3 people there. Mm-hmm. I said, do you have anyone called Ishwar? He said, no, we don't have anyone called Ishwar. So I said, is there any other electric shop here? He said, no, not in the vicinity of 5-6 kilometers. That was Swami.
Oh my God.
He was trying to test me. Am I your mother? And we ignorantly said, no. After that, if anyone tells me, or people even don't tell, I tell, you know, I studied in Satya Sai Institute.
Wow.
So that is one transformation I have had after that.
That is our biggest strength.
That is.
In our folly, I think, it happens, I think, in the journey of so many devotees. In our folly, what is our biggest strength? We think perhaps it is our biggest demerit. Perhaps it will work to our disadvantage. But that is the only thing which works to our advantage.
That is
which we realize with time.
Yes.
And, you know, Bhagwan, like an electrician, had to enlighten you.
That is the core message.
He wanted to light that bulb in you.
So, Bishu, I think, you know, this is for the first time that such a beautiful an explanation has been given to me by you. You know, he wasn't as an electrician. Yes. I think that is amazing. I think no one has, you know, even come out with this kind of a deduction. That is amazing. Yes, now I realize. Probably he came as an electrician. to light a bulb into my brain, yes. Into my nervous system.
And that is glowing now all the time.
Swami's grace.
And it glowed so beautifully yesterday, when you were doing the comparing of the entire program and you were the master of ceremonies. Beautiful.
I think Swami was the master of ceremony. We are just pawns. I've realized that. We are just pawns. We should with normal BSc's and MSc degrees. All our students are in good positions. How do you think this has happened? People might say it's because of their caliber. Yes, caliber. But first is Bhagwan. Can you believe if I say in my first interview I was asked to chant Vedam when I said I'm from Sathya Sai Institute?
Oh, yeah, no, talk about that.
I'd gone for an interview for marketing executive at Ranbaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I was being interviewed in Jaipur in Raj Mahal Palace. And the interviewer asked me, he asked me to show all documents. And he said, you're from Sathya Sai College because there was a marketing manager, Mr. Unni Krishnan. He was a South Indian. He had heard about Swami. He said, you're from Sathya Sai Institute. I said, yes. He said, then you must be knowing Vedam. And I was a part of the Vedam group. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, sir. He said, can you chant? I chanted Gananantva, chanted Shannomitra. So he said, thank you. Do one thing, when do you want to join? They did not ask me a third question, can you beat that?
Oh my God.
They had offered me a third AC fare. I'd come in general class. I said, sir, I'll not take third AC, I'll give me a general class ticket. They were shocked.
Oh my God.
But I'm not boasting about me, this is what Swami has taught. So that was my first interview. They offered me a third AC fare. I said, sir, I've come in a general class. I think these two things, they saw and they offered me the job. And in my respective interviews, be it Novartis or be it FedEx, I may say I hold such a good position, but I am zero. Whatever I am today, it's only because of Swami, nothing else.
You had a practical demonstration of how Swami becomes your strength, not only internally, but in your world outside, in your professional life. Greatest example was this interview.
That's it.
And I think that is a message for all of us, not only students, but I think for all devotees everywhere, that what is the most formidable power with us, we should never ever feel diffident about it, because that is what will carry us higher. And if we have that glow in us, if we sparkle with that power, then I think we will be doing amazing things.
And that's what, Bishu, this experience happened immediately after that Ishwar incident, where I was a little shy to quote Swami as my mother. Then when I went out after that, I said, no way.
Swami was preparing you for this.
Absolutely. Interview, what do you do? I said, I am pass out of Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning with lot of pride, ego, and I said that. He said, it means you know Vedam. I said, yes, I know Vedam. Chant. Gananantvas, Shannomitra, that's it. Thank you so much. Your third AC fare, I said, no sir, I have come in general, give me a general ticket.
Wow.
He said, when can you join? I said, I mean, anytime. And that was I got my first job.
Wow, fantastic. Many things might sound very illogical, irrational, but I think all Sai students know and all devotees know that, ultimately, what brings you success in life is not the conventional way of, climbing on the success ladder, working out a strategy for yourself and that is the way you will grow in your life in terms of professional success. Ultimately, there is always a power which is much higher, which is guiding. And I think Absolutely. That realization comes and you know that whatever you may work out, ultimately, someone else is going to decide.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
And the faster you know it and the more solidly you know it, the better it is for you.
Very true. Very true.
And I think that is our biggest strength of all the Sai students, isn't it? You always know that there is someone. Our self-confidence is not because of what we can do, but we all know that there is nothing that he cannot do. I think that's what makes us what we are.
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
Wonderful, brother. Thank you so much for coming to the studios. I'm really thankful to Swami that, he sent you to have the New Year conversation in Radio Sahib 2016. So what is it that you're going to carry from this beautiful experience that Swami gifted to you and to all the alumni this New Year?
I would only say, have ultimate surrender to Bhagwan. There is nothing we say, it's, 2016, right? And we all are zeros. He's only one. That the moment you have that one,
yes,
you become heroes. So yes. That's, you know, one learning from this new year for me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Sairam.
Sairam, thank you so much.
Sairam, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 15th day of March 2018 and the current time in Prashanthi Nilayam, India is exactly 45 minutes past 10 a.m. And that is Indian Standard Time. You just heard an episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories with Mr. Anandya Das Gupta. He was in conversation with Radio Sai's Bishop Rushti. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. We welcome your thoughts, comments and suggestions regarding this interview with Sri Anandya Das Gupta and any other programs on Radio Sai. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Now, before I go back to that important quiz question that I had raised, I want to share a little bit of interesting information with all our listeners, especially the Balvikas gurus. You know, the very famous Uncle Lion's Tales on Radio Sai. So far, we have uploaded about 85 episodes on our website. And from these 85 episodes, we have picked the best episodes which carry the strongest message and created interesting quizzes. So every month we release one quiz on one of the best episodes of Uncle Lion's Tales. And these quizzes are designed for various levels of Balvikas or SSC students according to their age. So we have, for the lower classes, we have simple quizzes. For higher levels, we have somewhat more subjective opportunity to give subjective answers based on your understanding of the message and its interpretation and so on. So I would urge everybody who is a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a teacher or a Balvikas guru or an SSC teacher, please do go to radiosai.org and check out the quizzes which are connected to our Uncle Lion's Tale. Our humble suggestion to you would be to watch the episode with your student or your ward, and then after you have seen it together, hold a quiz. It'll be a great interactive exercise and experiential learning and a very nice way to bring out the values from within the child and encourage them to understand and appreciate the place of values in their life through these interactive and interesting little animations called Uncle Lion's Tales. With that announcement, let's now revisit the important question that was posed to our listeners earlier on the show. Since 18th March Sunday is the day you should be here at the Lotus Feet to celebrate the festival of Ugadi with the Lord, I had asked you to name four key ingredients that make the world famous recipe from Andhra cuisine, namely the Ugadi Pachadi or the famous sauce or chutney that Telugu diaspora serves to mark their new year. Move aside bubbly and other unhealthy choices, we do it the natural way around here, based on the logic of the Indian civilization. Several of our listeners responded to my question and I'm happy to announce all of them are right this time, including the brothers who participated in this question. So as you all know, the famous Ugadi Pachadi is a special preparation which is prepared in every Andhra home on Telugu New Year. It's made with fresh tamarind, jaggery, fresh mangoes, neem tree flowers, and we can add sugar cane, coconut, banana and so on. And the sweetness, the sweetness of jaggery and the sourness of tamarind, the bitterness of neem flower, the pungent flavor of the green mango skin, spices of the chili powder, and all these make a very nice combination, although every family and every home has its own version of the same. Now, before I announce the names, I want to read out what Swami has said about the Ugadi Pachadi. Baba says, and I quote Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, who says, on the day of Ugadi, people prepare and eat Ugadi Pachadi, the special chutney. What is this chutney? Neem flowers, the juice of the small mangoes, honey and sugar are the main ingredients of the chutney which is eaten on Ugadi. What is the significance of this chutney? The chutney signifies and represents the different flavors of life, namely the good and the bad, the merit and sin, the ups and downs, the profit and loss, and teaches us to treat them all equally. One has to treat everything with equanimity. Every individual must partake the chutney with the resolution that, come what may in the year ahead, one would receive it with equipoise. One has to eat it with complete satisfaction. If one eats it cursing the bitter taste, one would face bitterness in the year ahead. Whatever happens in life, one should welcome it, thinking it to be for one's good. The main goal of life is to achieve the principle of equanimity. The essence of Ugadi lies in being calm and composed in both happy and not so happy circumstances. It signifies that one should not be elated by happy times, nor be dejected in times of sorrow, but see both as gifts from God. Unquote. Ooh, isn't that one tough order, Swamiji? Phew, always equipoised, heart but worth following, I guess saves us from trouble down the road. With that, here are the names of our listeners who got the answer right to my question regarding the key ingredients of the Ugadi Pachadi, or the traditional sauce prepared on Telugu New Year. Shubha Kotha from Dubai. Tilaka Sridhar, Sai student, batch of class of 1974-77 from Brindavan batch of Swami's College, from Puttaparthi, Andhra Pradesh. Nidhi Rai from Piparia, Madhya Pradesh. Radio Sai's very own auntie, Mrs. Sondarya Krishnamurthy from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. Rekha Loknath from Mysore, Karnataka. Srimati Nivedita Prakash from Bengaluru, Karnataka. Mridula Murthy from Bangalore, Karnataka. Rahul and Veda Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa. Lakshmi Padmavati, Anantpur College student, batch of 2009 from Vishakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh. Nagraj K.R. from Chan Narayan Patna, Hasan District, Karnataka. Raji Venkat from Mumbai, Maharashtra. Tarun Kanti Ghosh from Kolkata, West Bengal. Sai Mahima from Mangalore, Karnataka. Sai Sudha Sasi Kumar, former student of Anantpur College. Sai Mohan Sasi Kumar, former student of Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, both from Mumbai. Shankari Subhash from Dubai. All of you have correct answers, and my favorite email goes to the following. And this listener writes, since last two times I am listing in wrong answer, but in spite of that, by Swami's grace, my name was announced in the list of wrong answers, so I was very happy. Anyway, today my answer, I hope, will be correct, and it is, and then he has named all the ingredients correctly: neem flower, raw mango, pepper powders, coconut, salt, jaggery. With loving Sairam, regards, Pratap Makodia, Bhavnagar, Gujarat. Pratap Bhai, yes, your recipe is absolutely right today. Congratulations, aapka uttar ekdam sahi hai. On that mouth-watering note, let us all get set going for our date with the Divine right here at the Sacred Valley of Prashanthi Nilayam on Sunday, March 18th. Let us together usher in Ugadi 2018 in His Divine presence and with His Divine blessings. Welcome home very soon, dear sisters and brothers. And till you are called in the Darbar of our Lord, for none can ever step here without His explicit consent, let's try to make our homes mini Prashanthi Nilayams. Till we meet next Thursday right here on Morning Glory, on behalf of all of us at Team Radio Sai, here is wishing you and your family a premium lifetime membership in the divine mission of the Purna Avatar, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. May we serve Him through the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, through the Sri Satya Sai International Organization, through the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, as instruments, and enjoy the bliss of being carried through the sweet, the salty, the bitter, or the pungent experiences of life, unscathed, protected as we are with His grace. For when we serve Swami, He takes full charge of our lives and sees us through every episode, chapter, page, and paragraph. There is no struggle, no uphill battles. There is only Swami leading us gently, carefully, and joyfully out of harm's way. The time to serve, dear sisters and brothers, is now. The cause to serve is His. The goal to reach is Him. Let's not delay, please. And when I say Him, I mean the true Sai. All imposters, duplicates excused. On that note, I bid you a wonderful day ahead, and we'll connect again next Thursday, and hopefully many of you will be here on Sunday. Be well, take care, and Jai Sai Ram.
The incessant flow of worship to Krishna was Radha's very life. In thoughts of Krishna, she was forever lost. His form danced before her eyes every moment, wakeful and dream. The blue hues of the gurgling Yamuna reminded her of Krishna's charming complexion. The merry chirping of birds stirred in her memories of Krishna's mischievous chuckles. In Vrindavan, when Krishna would play upon his flute, her days passed like moments, filling every moment with that memory. She spent her days. All that stood between Krishna and Radha's union was her mortal frame. The day finally came when even that would seamlessly slip away.
ఒక్క కోరిక కోరింది పాపం రాధా.
దాదా హ్యాడ్ వన్ డిజైర్.
నాకు ఇంకేమి వద్దు స్వామి.
ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీథింగ్ మోర్ స్వామి.
మీ మురళిని ఒక్కతూరి వాయించండి, నేను వింటాను చాలు.
ఐ వాంట్ టు లిసన్ టు యువర్ ఫ్లూట్.
పాట పాడు మా కృష్ణ పరుకుతే నెలకొన్నట్టు.
యు సింగ్ ద గ్లోరీ అండ్ ద మెలడీ సో దట్ అవర్ హార్ట్స్ ఆర్ ఫుల్.
పాట పాడు కృష్ణ పలుకుతే
సారమంత్రం.
పాట పాడేటప్పటికి వినింది.
She heard.
ప్రాణం విడిచింది.
She breathed her last.
ప్రాణం విడిచడమే కాకుండా ఆనాటి నుంచి కూడా మురళిని పట్టడం కూడా మానివేశాడు.
Since then Krishna did not pick up that flute again.
రాధాకు ఈ యొక్క మురళిని త్యాగం చేశాడు.
He sacrificed his flute for her.
ఆ గానంను త్యాగం చేశాడు.
And then the melody too.
కట్టకడపటి పాట కృష్ణుడు ఇదొక్కటే చెప్పింది.
In fact this was the last song of Krishna.
రాధ చాలా గొప్ప భక్తురాలు.
Radha is an ardent devotee.
కనుకని భక్తికి అంత గొప్ప విలువనిచ్చారు.
Devotion is highly valuable.
ఇట్టి భక్తిని ఆనాటి నుంచి గోపికలు జగత్తునకు వ్యాప్తి గావించేటట్టుగా అనేక ప్రచార ప్రపంచములు చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
This principle of devotion has been taught and shared and propagated by these gopikas.